Okay, today is Thursday, April 6, 2006, and this is an interview with Carol Pavlik-Schultes at Gordon Square Arcade. My name is Peter McDermott, and I will be the interviewer. This is for a Cleveland State University course, U.S. Urban History. I just want to start out with some background information on where you were born and where you grew up, that sort of thing. So when and where were you born?
I was born November 17th, 1945, at Medina County Hospital, or Medina Community Hospital, and lived on a farm, 60-acre farm, and went to school and came to Cleveland after graduation.
And were your parents, did your whole family work on the farm?
My mother didn't work, but my dad, for a time period, worked the farm. We had cows, chickens, pigs, and we sold, you know, fruit at a little kind of like a stand when in season and so forth. But he basically worked for Ford Motor Company.
Okay. So he ran the farm and worked.
He also had a coal business, too, hauling coal from southern Ohio up to Cleveland, mostly.
And did you ever have to work on the farm? Was that
I used to pick eggs until they start picking at me, helped in the garden a little bit. I was kind of young.
And where did you go to school?
I went to St. Francis Xavier Catholic School for 8 years and then to 1 year for junior high in Medina. And then 3 years at senior high school in Medina.
And so you graduated from high school. And how did you make the decision to come into the city to go to college? Or
just before graduation of June of 1963, I figured I wasn't college material. And I took a secretarial courses, you know, shorthand and bookkeeping and that. And I just wanted to further along my education and then with a specific field, legal, and had an interview at Dyke College in Cleveland. And then they suggested staying at Cogswell Hall.
Was that unusual for you to be leaving that area where you grew up and where you went to school and to come into the city and go to school? Or?
I really don't know what my parents thought. I just didn't feel like there was a life down there on the farm. I had good grades, but I was in college material. Also, my parents couldn't afford to send me to a regular college. Mm-hmm. And going to a business school just, you know, gave me a chance to, you know, be on my own, which was at the age of 17, by the way.
And so was that a hard decision to make?
Or no.
Or were you pretty confident?
Yeah, I was glad to leave the country life for the city life.
What was that like coming from a rural farm to...
I loved it. I hate to say it, I did. No regrets whatsoever. Yeah, but it was not hard at all. And being on my own... Well, sort of on my own because I stayed at Cogswell Hall and sometimes I'd go home on weekends, get a bus downtown, and then the bus would take me back to Medina. But a lot of times I kind of pushed my studies through. Instead of a two-year course, it was a year and a half. And I just wanted to get it over with so I can get into the workforce.
What did you like most about being in the city?
People. Things to do. It was fun. I really thought it was fun.
Okay. So you first came to Cogswell Hall, or it was known at that point as the Cleveland...
No, it was strictly as Cogswell Hall.
Okay.
When we went for the interview for Dyke College, they suggested, you know, a place to stay. Because it was too much to commute.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in for an interview with the one of the ladies at Cogswell, got the tour of the place, and had to wait to see if, you know, I could, you know, stay there.
And were the girls who were living there at the time, were they, where had they come from? Were they going to school? Or were
all of them there? Were from out of town. What I understood was mostly students, and there were two girls that had jobs, but they had like to be on a limited income. And it seemed like that they were there forever. But most of the girls were from out of town. The furthest probably was Pennsylvania. There were two from Medina County that I know of. There was one from Girard. And there were quite a few. Like I said, we were all out of town from, you know, they couldn't travel into town. And a lot of them were going to another school. Most of them that I acquainted with were from Dyke College. And we had a great lot of fun there.
Peter, if you don't mind, I want to interrupt and ask a couple of questions about Cogswell before, just to define where the place is. Could you tell us where Cogswell Hall is?
I don't know the house address, but it's on Franklin Boulevard. I think it's Boulevard here in Cleveland.
And can you describe what the building looked like?
Very impressive. I was just talking to somebody, and I said to them that it looked like a mansion. And I thought it was at one time maybe a home, just a private home, but I guess it was all what I understood. You know, it was always a home for girls. And which got a reputation when we were there because the neighborhood kids thought we were problem kids. But we had nice accommodations, $16 a week it cost for room and board. And we had to sign in and sign out. If we had any male callers, they had to be in the parlor. And I guess they still do that today when their men come on the floor, you know, to fix anything, that they said, man on floor. Sound familiar, Peter?
It's funny because one time I went back there to drop off these materials that I had, and it wasn't like they were suspicious of me or anything, but you could definitely tell that, you know, it has a long history of being only women.
We also had someone there all the time. We had a cook and a cleaning lady. Now, most of us had single rooms. We consisted of a bed, a dresser, mirror, chair. They changed the linens once a week. And you know, we just furnished it ourselves with our own personal items. There was a closet in there. And on the two floors that had rooms, there were a communal bathroom with showers. I think it might have had a tub, but I don't remember that. And lots of sinks, and I think four sinks and two toilets and that. And then typical day was, you know, for school, you know, I'd get up, go to the bathroom, of course, and then get dressed and go down. Breakfast was served, and we also had supper. And there was the dining room, and we would go actually through a line and pick up our food and then sit down at the dining room. Then, I think it was pretty good. It was a little different than some of it, but what I remember most of it was pretty good. And I was always a picky eater. Of course, I was probably pretty hungry. Well, we did have access to a cupboard and a refrigerator. So if there was a store near the high school that you could go buy items, and a lot of times I'd, you know, pack a lunch, or if we had, you know, a beverage or something, we could keep it in there. There were washing facilities down in the basement, like a wringer type, but we had to hang our clothes up to dry. Then, like I said, we had to sign in and out. We did have a curfew, and only two of the, I think only one had a car at the time.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you how you got around at the time, how you got to school.
Actually, probably, we walked on to Detroit Road and picked up a bus to go downtown. I went to church when I was there on weekends, St. Coleman's on 65th Street. They used to have a bus, and it would stop in front and pick up everybody, and then afterwards drop them off.
Where was Dyke College located?
I think East 6th Street, right across from the Board of Education. It's no longer there. In fact, now it's like Myers College. Before that was a Spencerian or something like that. You can find the information on that in the internet under Myers College. It was not really accredited, but a lot of my courses did have college credits in that, if I had gone to a regular college in that.
What were your first impressions of that college?
That was overwhelming. I took the legal secretarial course. That was a 2-year course. And a lot of it, you know, it was more secretarial, you know, the typing and the shorthand. It was just all an extension of high school, really, except for corporate law. I didn't do too well in that. But there was legal accounting, regular accounting, legal accounting. And it was, you know, filled my time up with homework and that.
And were the girls who were staying at Kreisel Hall, were most of them who were going to school, were they studying the same type of thing?
The ones that were going to Dyke, there was a variety of courses. There were only two of us that were taking the legal course. Some were taking, I think it was more corporate. There was one that was going to, like, dental hygiene school. And I don't really remember where, you know, they all went, but there was about maybe six of us at the time that were all Dyke College kids because of our schedules. We, you know, had gone, you know, took the bus at different times and came home different times.
Now, how many girls would you say were living at the house?
Oh, I have no idea. I know there's one picture I have with everybody on it, including the housekeeper. About 15, maybe. I don't even remember how many rooms there were. Like I said, mine was a single room. But there were at least two I knew that they shared a room in.
I'd like to talk a little bit about what you and the other girls did when you were inside the house, for instance, for fun. Or did you become close with anybody in the house? Did you make friends with them?
Oh yes, in fact. After school and after we left Cogswell Hall, a lot of us, you know, continued with, you know, seeing each other. Some, we went to their weddings. In fact, I had one of them in my wedding party, and my other best friend was in my wedding party. And I'm still in contact with one of them. I haven't been able to track down some of the others yet. But things that we did. We had a lot of fun. We had a TV room at Cogswell, and that's where we'd chat. We also had a little closet that was for the telephone, and you could make outgoing calls. And long distance, you know, we could, you had a call collect, and you could receive calls there too. We also got mail.
What would you do for fun?
Fun. I remember the one girl that had the car. We learned how to ski. And we took And then there was another time where we took tennis lessons. And the one thing that I didn't participate in, but a lot of them did, the Phil Donahue show was down the basement over the where Dyke College was. They'd skip classes to go to the Phil Donahue show. And unfortunately, I was a little too studious. But I always regret the time that I didn't go. Now, when we first came to Cleveland, a lot of us would go out. If we stayed the weekend, we'd go into these big buildings because we're not used to the tall buildings, office buildings in downtown Cleveland. We used to take the elevators up and just, you know, ride them up. And that was kind of fun because it was embarrassing, you know, somebody, may I help you? And no, we're just, you know, stopping by. But other things that we did, we just enjoyed each other's company in that. Afterwards, you know, when we left Coxwell, the ones that we've kept in contact, we went up to Montreal to the fair, the World's Fair up there. So we did a lot afterwards, too, with each other.
And who did you say that you kept in touch with?
Sylvia Arnold Ward. You know, she lives down in Tennessee now. And but she's the one that I really was in touch with a lot. The other one who I haven't been able to track down is a Maureen Hogan Barnes. And I'd like to try to get a hold of her in that because she was in our, you know, my wedding.
Were there any, during the time that you lived there, were there any like traditions or sort of things that had been happening at the hall that you could, since before you had been there, or any? I know when I was going through some of the things that you mentioned, a bazaar sale, kind of like a garage sale sort of thing that they would have every year. Other years there was a harvest dinner, like very small.
I don't remember those dinners, but I remember, you know, when Diana was mentioning about it, that it was probably done on a weekend when I might have gone home or something like that. I know we did have the one fashion show. I think you got the literature or copy of it. Good. Because that was done, I think, for the trustees, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't remember the crowd and everything. I didn't pay much attention. I just was there that weekend, and they had this fashion show. And I knew it was, you know, for the community type of thing. But as far as anything else going on, it was very quiet. In fact, the time I spent there during the summer, nothing was really going on. More than half the girls were gone. So it was very quiet.
What did you do over the summer when you stayed?
Oh, I remember just laying out in the sun and that and watching soap operas. But because I had only a few classes and I could, you know, take it easy in that.
And what year did you graduate?
I graduated from Medina High School in 63, in June of 63. Started, I guess, the fall of that year. And graduated, in fact, I just came across my diploma. It said August of 65. So I, as soon as, you know, got my, when I was at Dyke, I was able to, they had a office where you could go in for future jobs, job placement, and I went on several interviews, and that's how I got, you know, my job and stayed in Cleveland. But in the meantime, two of us from the hall, this Karen Goist and Sylvia Ward, we got an apartment, or two-family home, the downstairs that we rented, and we lived there while we worked.
Where was that?
That was on Summit Avenue in Lakewood.
I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about what you remember of the neighborhood and whether or not you see that as having changed at all.
When we were there, let's see, there was some other things we used to do. We used to go down to, now it's Don's Pomeroy, we used to have ice cream, go for ice cream. As far as the neighborhood, West High School was across the street, and there was like a little corner grocery store, and that's where we mostly went shopping in that. The neighborhood, when Lent came, several would go to Our Lady of Mount Carmel for morning mass every day. I lasted for a couple days because I had to get up too early. good intentions. But we used to, you know, I had to walk to Detroit Avenue. And but when 65, things were starting to change, and we had some instances where some of the kids used to throw rocks. I don't know if it was just, you know, it seemed like it was getting worse, you know, a few things. And like I said, the hall had a little kind of tag to it that, you know, was, you know, either a home for unwed mothers or it was for problem children, you know, girls that were, you know, trouble with the law. So the neighborhood kids didn't know really who lived there. Because I think probably because we, you know, stuck by ourselves and so forth.
And I think that was also because, you know, it was only about 10 years before that it switched the hall.
Was it?
Over to house boarders who went to college rather than...
I don't know how long they, you know, did that. I know, you know, I had to wait, you know, after the interview to, you know, get into Coxville. I had to wait, you know, to make sure there was room. But there's a whole bunch of new girls that came in, so they were just thinning them out. And you had to, like... Parents had, you know, with a certain income and that, they stuck to that pretty good. And
could you have lived anywhere else? Was there,
I never thought about it. Once we had the interview and toured the place, my parents liked it. I liked it. And it was close to transportation. They furnished your food. Everything was there that you needed.
Was it unusual at all for, you said after you left Coswell Hall, you and two of your friends got an apartment. Was that unusual at all for three young ladies to
no,
move together like that?
Not really. In fact, there was another two that left and, you know, had an apartment. The others went home. They figured they got their education and job opportunities were closer to home. I wanted to stay in Cleveland and that. Something else, when I was going to school, you know, like everything was within walking distance. At least I thought that was at the time. St. Lakewood Hospital? St. John's Hospital. There in Detroit. Also had a back entrance. And for one of my courses, I had to do community, or for my course of study, I had a 2 semesters of community service, and I was a candy striper. So I just thought I'd put that in there. So I kept busy, in other words.
And so after you graduated and you lived with these ladies, what did you do after that? Or what have you done since you've left Coswell Hall?
Well, during the time that the three of us lived on Summit. Oh, we used to have parties and worked. I stayed there for about a year because there was one party that just was a little, got out of hand. But it ended up that girl, one of them, she stayed there and I guess they had a butter fight. So we left. Sylvia and I just got another apartment on Heard. So we stayed in Lakewood. But I was dating a fellow who ended up marrying one of my other friends from Dyke. And I did a lot, you know.
And so when did you start? Did you start working soon?
O'Wright is soon. I can't remember exactly when I started working. Had it been in 65. I got a job at a patent attorney's office. Stayed there for a year until I got a raise. And then I got a job at Squire Sanders and Dempsey as a municipal, in the municipal department. So I kind of specialized in all those fields.
And did you stay in that line of work for a long time? Or?
Well, I got married in 68 and worked for about 3 years so we can get a good down payment on a house. Or we had bought a house when we got married, but I wanted to get, you know, paid off as soon as possible. And then I got pregnant. And I've been a stay-at-home mom.
How many kids do you have?
2 boys.
What are they doing now?
One went to the University of Akron and Wayne College, and he's doing IT work at a law office. And the other one, he attended Akron University, and he works for Shiloh Industries. I'm still a housewife, and we just recently moved, so there's still a lot of things that we're in the process of building up the house, and I have a hobby of genealogy, which keeps me very active, and I enjoy it because of the fact, one of the things that came out of that was, you know, getting closer to cousins, but I've also, you know, with the other side projects with genealogy, I've been in touch with a lot of people out of town, from New York to Michigan, all the way to California, down to Florida even, Texas.
How did you get interested in genealogy?
Well, that's a weird story. My mother had a whole bunch of pictures, no names on them. And instead of throwing them out after she passed on, I decided to do a little inquiry and asked around, called people, wrote to people to see if they could identify some of these pictures, and came back with a lot. I got most of the wedding pictures identified, except for one, but because a lot of these are 1916 to 1930, and what was the question?
How you got interested in genealogy?
I had all these pictures, so I wanted to put names to them and see how they related to the family. And then my biggest project is this one on my husband's side that, you know, with 9 children, that has been very interesting. In fact, this is my 4th year on it. But it's fun. I like the challenge of trying to find out information on these people that lived long ago. I guess that's a little history that I'm interested in. I always was in high school, and I've done a lot of traveling too. That you know, there's history involved in that.
How would you say that? In any way, how did your time at Cogswell Hall? How did that shape your life, or did that? Did you learn from that experience?
I think I did. I, to tell you the truth, I had no negativeness about, you know, the experience. I was anxious to leave the farm, come to the city. That was a goal. I felt very secure at Cogswell Hall. And I know I never had any problems, and it just seems like things, you know, just blended right in quite well, and it was a good experience. And as far as shaping, I don't know, things have kind of like went along pretty well. I guess probably because I have certain goals, and I've noticed this in my kids. You have certain goals, and you do this such a way, and do it in such a way, and you don't veer from it. And we've been very fortunate that, you know, haven't had any problems or sidetracked, you know, tragedies or anything like that.
Is there anything that you recall from your experience at that time that we haven't talked about at all, or that, you know, any special memories or anything like that?
The only memory I have is when a whole bunch of us were in my room and we're sitting on the bed, and we must have been getting a little excited and talking and that, and the bed fell. A big clunk. And boy, did the girls, they just scattered all over here in peaceful, quiet. Everybody shut their doors and that. Nobody helped me put the bed together. But, you know, we thought, you know, so we had to behave ourselves after that. You know, we're all little angels.
Were there any discipline problems at any point that you were there?
I didn't experience any. I mean, they really stressed the fact of the curfew. And
what time was that? Do you remember?
You know, I can't recall, because I think, and possibly maybe 10 o'clock at night, if I remember. It was longer on the weekends, I think 11 o'clock. And the poor guys that you were dating or something, you know, they had to go into that parlor. You know, you didn't stay there very long.
Were a lot of girls dating at the time?
Off and on, yeah.
Who were they dating?
Mostly local, you know, Cleveland guys and that. Nobody from school that I can recall. I mean, you know, when I met somebody, I met them at the laundromat, you know, later on. But as far as when I was in school, I don't think I was dating anyone. Or they just knew somebody that knew but somebody type of thing.
You said you didn't recall the name of the other school that some of the girls went to who were there?
Jane Addams. I think that was the other where some of them went to. Like, I think they did the dental hygienists. I don't know what else they took there. I didn't associate with some of those, but, you know, when we did get together, I know we had one Christmas party or something that we did. That's where I have a picture from, but I don't know is there one there?
I do remember. Some,
the group picture?
Some, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know I made a copy of that.
Mm-hmm. But after I left, you know, I just kept in contact with mostly the, you know, the few. And where the rest of them are, I have no idea.
Do you remember, you mentioned going downtown and liking, you know, enjoying riding the elevators in the buildings and that sort of thing. I was wondering if you could recall any other things that you did downtown when you weren't actually in school. Any restaurants you went to, any shopping you did?
We probably went to the Palace for the movies. And across the street was an ice cream place called Boucher's. And talk about ice cream. And it was a big fishbowl that they'd give you. And I mean, it was really almost for two people. Other restaurants was the Colonnade. It was like a cafeteria that's no longer there. I think it was in the Leader building. Contiki restaurant was at the old Sheraton there at the square. It was all done up in tropical.
What was it called?
Contiki. 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 See, I think it's Kontiki.
And that was in the Sheraton?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just called Contiki, or is it Contiki?
It was a restaurant, a bar, a tropical motif. And then there was a restaurant at the hall, in back of the Holiday. Oh, gosh, what was the name of it? Used to go there. There was one place I remember when I was working. We went to Lebanese place. It was down, kind of like down the basement, and that's where I had my first baklava. Mm-hmm. But most of the time when I was in school and in work, I packed lunches and that. Stover's used to be downtown on Euclid Avenue. That was good food they had then. And the Cunningham grocery store, not grocery, pharmacy or drugstore, they used to have like a little counter where you can have lunches and that.
Where was that located?
Usually on a corner. There's one that was on East 9th, or gee, I can't remember where that was at. It was close to East 9th. There's a lot of buildings that aren't there anymore. The old Bond store was there at East 9th, and the old Hallie's. I remember my big purchase when I was working. I got myself a pearl ring for $25. That was a big splurge. And of course, Higbee's and May Company was there on the square. And we go to the library, the Cleveland Library, to do any kind of, you know, book research. I think we even stopped at the Board of Education to look around to see what the inside of that building was. I think probably because, like a lot of the banks downtown, they were very ornate inside with a lot of wood paneling and that. And the Cleveland Trust building, the dome there. That's one of the things we just wanted to see what all the other buildings looked like in that. Of course, then once we started working, forget it, you know. We were just stuck within our own buildings. And Christmas was pretty downtown with all the decorations that the, you know, animated characters in the windows. I know when my son had a project, photography project, to do lights for downtown, I was very surprised. The streets were so quiet after 6 o'clock. It was so depressing, and then seeing, you know, as the years go by, how things have been boarded up on Euclid Avenue. That was lively. I mean, you were shoulder to shoulder with people from morning to night, and because the stores would stay open late. And we didn't have the shopping malls then, so a lot of our shopping was done at the, you know, May Company, Sterling, Hallie's, and Higbee's and that. But it's just a shame to see downtown deteriorate so.
Do you remember a particular Christmas window display that stands out in your mind?
Probably the Sterling Linder tree. It was beautiful. It was just gorgeous. Just between, you know, that, I guess you'd call it an arcade. Or it was an open area with, you know, you could see the different floors and just seeing these big bulbs that, you know, they put on the tree and all lit up. It was very pretty. And, of course, Higbee's and May Company had the storefront with the different animated characters and that, and snow, and the old wooden floors on a lot of the older sections of the Higbee Company was interesting. And then the restaurants, too, that the Higbee Grill, I think it was called, that was interesting. And they, just like the pictures show, you know, the waitresses with their pretty little uniforms, their white uniforms with a little black apron, and something from the past.
How did you meet your husband?
When I was living on Heard in Lakewood, my roommate and I, the roommate at that time, we went to bowling over at the Ambassador Lanes, which is at used to be at 117th and Bury Road. I guess it's not there anymore. So I met him there. Actually, I met his friend there, went out with him, and then I went out to my husband. That's a long time ago, summer of 66.
So that was right after you left.
Yeah, I dropped the guy that I was dating at the time, and that one friend from Cogswell, she ended up dating him, married him eventually. So that was quite soon, probably, you know, after I started working.
And how long was it before you were married?
Well, 68, September of 68.
And did you, where did you live after you got married?
We had bought a house in Brook Park. And I was working, he was working, and we put a lot of, you know, money down for it. And had a good start.
And why did you just move?
We're downsizing. We had a 4-bedroom colonial, or we still have it, in fact. Can't sell it because of the market. And just, you know, getting older, my husband retired. And we wanted some place that it's a community, an adult community, and we do a lot of traveling, so we can pick up and leave. We hope to spend some of this, our winters in Florida or someplace sunny. So we're kind of like newly retired. At least my husband's retired. I still work at home.
What was he doing before he retired?
He was an electrician for General Motors.
I have one further question because back to the beginning. You mentioned that your father worked at Ford Motor Company.
Mm-hmm.
Which plant was that?
He was at the foundry, the casting plant.
Where was that located?
Still there. Brook Park Road.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Okay.
How did he manage to juggle all these different jobs? You mentioned he worked on the farm, he was at the Ford Motor Company, and he also hauled coal from southern Ohio. How did he juggle all those different things at once?
There was a time period where, you know, like he'd get laid off or something. So both my parents are from southern Ohio. They're from coal mining families. And my one uncle got a mine. And Strongsville Cleaners, and I don't know where in Cleveland, but my dad used to haul coal for him. He did that only for a short time.
Did your parents stay on the farm for?
Until 69. They waited until we got married, and they took off for Florida and lived happily ever after down there in Florida for 25 years till my dad passed away. And my mom stayed there for about a year and a half, and we moved her up to Medina, closer to us. So I was taking care of her for quite a few years. She lived to be 91.
What have your brothers and sisters done?
I had a brother, and he passed away in 82. He had 4 kids, but he was 12 years older than I was. So I was the baby of the family. And I think, you know, with my getting married, my parents felt, you know, hey, they're on their own, you know. But as far as my brother goes, like I said, there was 12 years difference, and he led his own life. He ended up in Cleveland, too, the big city.
I have, excuse me, one question also about Cogswell Hall. Can you recall what was around that building in terms of, you know, on either side of it and across the street?
I know there were homes beside it. There was a big parking lot on the one side. The grounds were always kept really nice, and I guess it still is today by the appearance of it. Like I mentioned before, it just looked like a mansion. And the interior was beautiful with the wood that's, you know, the molding and the stairway. They're a little creaky, but they were creaky back when I was went to school, too. So if you kind of like snuck in, you could hear somebody. We also had a side door that, you know, sometimes was left open if you came in after curfew. But most of us didn't. Usually we were in a group or something like that. As far as the neighborhood, felt very secure at the time, except toward the end. But we really never gave it much thought. We thought it was just, you know, a couple instances with, you know, the rock throwing and that. But it was a good experience. And it was all because Dyke College said, you know, that's one of the places we could go. And I don't think there was any place else that was suggested. There was another school I was interested in, but it was more of a finishing school. But didn't care for what they had. And
when did college close down, or why it closed down?
I had heard that it was, they wanted to get accredited as a college, because it was always known as a business school, and probably, you know, met its needs for the public, but I guess the college education, you know, was more important, and getting that piece of paper. and somehow Myers got into, you know, combined it for a while, and then they had to find a new home. I don't even know where the Myers is located right now, but I know they had started up on Huron, I think it is. They used to have some school, you know, classes there, but they got to be scattered. And also I think Dyke was renting or leasing, excuse me, the property. And last time I had, you know, I don't know what, I have a picture of that when they tore it down, but you know, there was the parking lot there after a while, because it was all self-contained, except for we did go to another building. Oh, that was something in 63. Remember when President Kennedy got shot? I was in class, my favorite course, corporate law. I remember seeing the flag being lowered over, well, let's see, that would probably have been City Hall or something like that. So that's where I was when Kennedy died.
I have no further questions.
Okay, I don't believe I do either.
Is there anything else?
Other than, you know, I stayed at Cogswell for about two and a half years and left there, went on my own, really on my own, because my parents paid, you know, the $16 a week, and I started to pay them back a little, you know, after I started working. And
were your parents supportive of what you were doing? Had they ever pushed you to do that, or were they?
No, I did this on my own. It was my decision. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which surprised me. You know, their last child. You know. But I think, you know, they were getting up there in age too, and they wanted to retire, and so they were, you know, they had the time by themselves. And I'd go home on weekends and holidays and that, occasionally on weekends. But I worked, you know, as far as, I didn't work or anything during school. I didn't have the time. And just stayed in Cleveland after that. And it's good to come back to the old neighborhood here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember as a child on Halloween, sometimes we'd go over to Cogswell Hall, and we'd go inside the building, and all the old ladies would be sitting there, and they would all drop candy in our basket.
Oh, how
so cute. That was my early
memory
of this place.
Oh, no. We should interview you.
And then I just recently went back there, and I was just blown away at the woodwork and how gorgeous. Like, I guess the house was built in 1892. And it's just, I mean, it's, you see it in a lot of the houses around.
True.
Mm-hmm. But that house especially was just...
Yeah, I never thought about, you know, it being just, you know, strictly a residence. But, you know, when you think about how it was all cut up into the rooms and that, how they were originally, I don't know. But I imagine they probably, there were probably bigger rooms at the time, too. And then I remember sitting, you know, where my bed was in the Cogswell, I could look out the window, and that's where they put the airplanes would put their lights on for landing. They're the landing lights. And I just always remember that. That was another little incident.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. It was nice meeting you.
Yeah.
And looking forward to maybe reading about this, you know, and having some sort of a final paper.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's
because I imagine, you know, you're going to get a little history of it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually really interesting. It's the organization has the Cogswell Hall house right now. It's the fourth or fifth house that they actually carried on in throughout the whole history of the organization. So they've changed where they've been four or five times. They've changed their name four times, and four times also they changed the mission in terms of who was living there. You know, first it was children who had committed some sort of petty crime and didn't really have a family, so to speak. And then it was more boarding for adolescent girls. And then it changed into the elderly, and now they accept people, or any women of moderate income, no matter how old you are. So there's a lot of depth in the history, and I'll be sure to send you a copy of the paper.
Well, I didn't realize what the history was, and, you know, the little I know of it, and it was just interesting to realize that it's always stayed as a residence for women. And I know when we visited a couple years ago, Sylvia and I really, you know, felt that, you know, they're accomplishing something over there, and it seems like they get enough donations. I mean, I put in a nice donation in that, my one-time donation. But, you know, their cause is fairly good. And I know Diana mentioned something about, you know, my kids were in school, I was into PTA. I was very active into that and ended up as president and so forth. But, you know, Diana asked if I'd be interested in one of the trustees' jobs. But I got enough. Keep me busy. Well, the thing is, you know, I've done a lot of volunteering over the years, and I says all the time and effort I put into it, I might as well get paid for some of this, because I go into detail, and when I do volunteer for something, I go all out. And like my husband said, I probably lived at the school and anything else, but I take my jobs, you know, even volunteering seriously.
And it's also interesting because there really aren't a lot of places like Cogswell Hall. In terms of like
I've never heard of it. Yeah, it's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the word for the place. And they've kept up, you know, kept it up. It doesn't look like it needs repair work, but, you know, from the outside, grounds are always nice. Because my oldest son had both of his two girls baptized at St. Coleman's. And I know we stopped by and I says, boy, it just doesn't look any different. Didn't look any different at all.
Yeah, I think those old houses stand up for quite a while.
Floors creaked, but, you know, they creaked when I was there. Yeah. Didn't really do that much exciting things in my life, I guess, you know. Just stayed on the true and narrow course. And
well, this has been an interview with Carol Pavlik-Schultes. I am Peter McDermott. And it's April 6, 2006. Thank you very much for...
You're welcome.
Agreeing to